Do you get many texts from your mammy? What does it say?
Oh, you looked great. Aww. I was on Ireland AM cooking a carrot cake. And if I hadn't have told her...
Now, hang on a second. Even I know that you bake a carrot cake. You don't cook a carrot cake. See?
What is the difference?
Oh, there's a huge difference. And you don't you like cooking shows? Don't you like...
I love cookery shows. Yeah. So when I the woman's name is Catherine. She works with Odlums. Mm. And we were... she was saying that it was so hot in the kitchen yesterday. I was so hot. And I was like, were you cooking just in your bra, Catherine? And she's like, do you know what? I wasn't sure she was going to go for it. But then she's like, I did. And then Alan Hughes, isn't that his name? Alan Hughes is like, oh my God. Oh, don't be telling people you were cooking in your bra. She's like, I had to. I had two ovens on, four carrot cakes for the before and after to make for TV3.
But you wore an Odlum's apron. This has ruined my...
Yeah. Oh, she did, but just on the bottom half.
And then a bra.
In case you get any splashback.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, you don't want that. Jeez.
No. You don't want splashback on your lads.
So listen, how are you?
I'm in good form, actually.
It's nice to meet you.
Thank you. We have
watched you on the telly.
Oh, everywhere.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, honestly, I am always in awe of that behind the stage camera shot of the Apollo. When somebody like yourself walks out, and even as I'm watching
it's
it in my living room,
scary.
I look scary.
Shit myself. I'm like, oh my Jesus, look at all those people.
Are you allowed to say that on radio?
Just did it.
Oh my God. Would they not get some pros in?
Nah, we'd be fine.
It was really scary that moment. Also, like when I did it, they don't know, but they record two shows a night with the same audience. So it's a Wednesday, and by the time I came out fifth. After, like, you don't see that on telly. It looks like three people just did kind of 10 minutes.
Sure.
But everyone's doing 20 to 30 minutes.
Wow.
So there are three, a whole show before I even come on. And I was on fifth on a Wednesday. So I was on about 10 o'clock at night when the audience had been
people
there for
70. Tired.
People were tired. And it's your job to remember that it's going on telly. So you're doing it for the camera, for like a smaller screen, but you're also doing it for 6,000 people.
My God, it's impressive.
And when that, and you're there waiting at the side, and when, and you also can't, when the Live at the Apollo thing comes up and there's all that smoke, like you want to make a joke, but the rule is you're not allowed to make a joke of how much smoke there is. You're not allowed to go, even though it's so tempting, but you are then caught when the smoke comes out. It does genuinely get in your face. Like, I feel sorry for all the X Factor judges when they have to pop up the whole time and
do it every week.
But it really is. It's one of those, you can't believe you're in the thing you saw on telly normally.
Man.
So the smoke clears and 6,000 people are staring at you going, go on before
Exactly, go on then, make us laugh.
Yeah.
Go on then, you're going to do your bit now, are you? And you're like, yes, please laugh, please.
Do you work, I know you work in, you know, a fair bit of the Irish stuff and things like that. Is Ireland a big draw for you for material?
It is. I mean, it's always going to be my point of view. What's been interesting now is, like, when I started stand-up about 5 or so years ago.
Right.
And when I started, I'd kind of been in England maybe 3 or 4 years.
What did you do before that, just quickly?
Acting, just of always been an actor.
Okay,
yeah. So even though I just had an interview where they were asking me about the time I worked on a stud farm. I worked on a stud farm as a tour guide as a teenager, so I have done
a tour guide on a stud
farm. Yeah, well, Americans like to know how horses go at it, so that was my kind of job.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it was really creepy.
You're from Kildare, though, right? So
exactly.
It's all happening on your doorstep.
It's on my we had two horses every morning on our doorstep.
Quite literally.
Studding away,
as they say in the industry.
Go on now, get up there.
I have a friend actually.
Stud away. Is that how you got pregnant?
No.
Stud away.
No.
I'm ready now.
She got pregnant because I didn't stand away.
That's the different thing altogether.
I meant stand away, not stood away.
Get away from me. And he did not, clearly. Oh my God. A friend of mine used to work in a stud farm, and it was his job to guide the male horses into the...
My auntie,
it's not like you leave them to it, like, and put on some Barry White or anything.
Because I come from a very horsey family, and it was my auntie's job as, like, when she worked in France on a stud farm as, like, a young jockey, and it was her job to guide, shall we say, the lad into his shed.
Be strong, because those things
Let's move on. Let's get back to the Apollo.
That's where stud came from. All right, just
get back to sorry if two ladies can't talk about horse sexuality on Radio Nova.
Yeah, Marty, you prude.
Yeah, come on.
Well,
geez.
I'm sorry, but I'm just thinking of the wider audience. That's all I'm doing. Oh no, I've said wide. Oh God. Let's move on.
So yes, horses, jobs before. So what I was saying is that it's interesting. I've been in London almost 10 years now, which is almost a decade. And at first when I started stand-up, I felt like a fish out of water. I felt like an Irish person in London. Mm. And now I don't know where I fit in. Like, I got really emotional watching. Did you see that clip of the kids in Kerry when the Star Wars crew came.
Oh, yes, I did.
And that's where my father's family is from. No. Yeah,
that village.
It's Ballyferriter.
Oh, right.
And all of my, all around the Cowanshubail area. And I spend lots of my summers in the Cowanshubail area. And I got so emotional with all those little kids, and you're going, and he picked up Killian, and then he was from Star Wars, and it was great, and then playing with the tin whistles, and I got so missing my country.
It was gorgeous. I'm sitting here in Dublin watching that, and I got teary watching that. It was a marvellous bit,
but
wasn't
it's one of those moments I was like, God, have I been away too long? Am I not, what am I now? Because I know more about UK politics than I know about what's going on here. I know I kind of wouldn't be able to tell you probably who the Minister for Education is here anymore.
Neither would Marty, which is great.
No. But there's loads of moments you miss out on that all of a sudden you feel yourself as an immigrant sort of drifting away a little bit, but feeling so Irish still.
Good.
As in when you're abroad, but there's something, you lose a bit of the dailiness of being part of your country, which gets a little bit sad sometimes.
Is London the place to be, though, in this kind of gig?
Oh, it's the place to be.
Or did you just want to leave Ireland in general?
At the time, I did want to leave Ireland. I was heartbroken and one of those kind of like, I have to get away from the country.
Ireland is small if you're heartbroken.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it really is. So I went, but I went over and moved over and decided to go to drama school. And I went to drama school over there and I just found my feet. Like, I found a little family of friends there. And it's the first time I really felt like, oh, this is my home. And I don't know if it was London or just, I think if you land anywhere and you've immediately got a pile of friends, you connect to that place better. I know a lot of people who've moved over as just actors without going to drama school there. And they've arrived in to kind of no work and auditioning maybe
That's
once
difficult.
A week. And they've no community to hook into.
Yeah.
Whereas actually I went over with a load of Irish people as well. I immediately had a community and I work a lot with like the Irish community
over
there.
It's mini Dublin over there.
Oh, it is. Now it's mini Dublin.
Big time.
But I
big
moved
time.
Over before the recession. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like an immigrant of sort of like swanning around with my
with
giant
a few quid.
Silk hat.
Drama school.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just here because I want to. Yeah. But then about 4 years later, then came like the influx.
The influx, yeah.
Yeah. And now there's, I work a lot with the Irish London Irish Centre, and myself and Maria Schwepp, who's a dub comedy promoter, we put on a big disco, we called it, last year. And it was actually the two nights after I did the Apollo, we put on this big event at the end. We had like a giant disco, and the amount of Irish people kind of around my age who came over for like a bop was brilliant.
That's great. England's a very interesting place to be at the moment. I mean, as an Irish person living in London with the whole Brexit thing going on, London obviously voted to stay in, and it's a really interesting place to be, isn't it?
Well, it's interesting, but David O'Doherty is a good pal of mine. He tweeted the other day that people keep on saying to him, God, it must be great to be a comedian now. And then he looks out the window and sees the world on fire. And he's like, with a tear rolling down his eye going, yes, of course it is. It's been so hard to do comedy at the moment because the audience are on edge.
Yes.
Oh, no.
People are in weirded out form. Yes. Like, it wouldn't be the same here, but in England,
well,
people
are scared.
Do you pick that
they're
up?
They're scared. The oh, you absolutely do. And also, everyone's so sick of bloody Brexit and talking about it, because it's been going on for months and months and months, and everyone's sick of talking about it. But if you don't mention it, then it feels weird if you don't mention it, like you're moving forward as if nothing weird has happened in the world. You don't know in an audience who voted what, but people are getting very defensive and emotional about their vote and what's been happening.
Jeez, at a comedy night, like,
yeah,
relax.
Exactly.
What are you doing there?
Yeah. But it's almost, you should have material about it, but it's not, it's more, I'm weirded out as well, because like I can't hang on to a joke. I was doing an afternoon gig, it was like a corporate gig, about 2 Wednesdays ago, and I made a joke about Boris Johnson being Prime Minister, and someone heckled and was like, he resigned 20 minutes ago. And I was like, can you not have one joke for one day? Like, the news changes every single day. Someone's dropped out, someone else has taken over Labour, no, Jeremy Corbyn's actually going to stay
scribbling
in, like Theresa May, Andrea Leadsom, no, by the weekend she's gone, so you can't actually have any jokes on her. There's nothing, at least after an election, even though I did not want a Tory government in the UK, you were like, well, this is what it is now, I'll write some stuff in it. Whereas now you can't hang on to a gag for like an hour, so you end up going back to like, hey, what's the deal with aeroplane food, guys? We're like, there's no more aeroplane food, they've just gotten rid of it all off the aeroplanes. You're like, I can't, nothing,
can't do this anymore.
But social media has ruined that kind of writing, because it's so much more
anyway,
listen, I know. What sort of stuff are we going to get? Vodafone Comedy Festival, what are we going to get from you?
So next week
week. I mean, I'm
obviously no jokes about Brexit.
No jokes about Brexit.
Or airplane food.
No jokes about airplane
or Vodafone.
Oh, no jokes about Vodafone because they're a great company. And if I could have not been with Three, I would absolutely be with Vodafone.
Me too.
So, so next, the Vodafone Comedy Festival is from Thursday to Sunday at the Ivy Gardens. I'm on the Thursday and the Friday. On the Thursday, I'm on at 9:30 with, who am I on with? Oh, Al Porter and then Chris Gethard and Sasheer Zamata. And she's on SNL. She's on Saturday Night Live. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she'll be quite cool.
That's
to see.
Cool, yeah.
I would say if you're coming along to try and, like, don't come see me. Go and see people maybe you couldn't normally see. Yeah. Like every gig's going to have some good Irish acts on it. But like if there's people you wouldn't normally see. I spend a lot of time in America and to see people you see on TV shows over there is great on gigs.
Yeah. For sure.
And a lot of them don't travel over a lot to like Edinburgh or London because they can't get visas.
Yeah,
What's it like though going out on stage at Live the Apollo through the smoke and then coming out into a tent in the Ivy Gardens? From your point of view, is it different from your performance?
I would do a tent every night of the week over a scary gig like that.
Nice without
a doubt. Because what stand up is not supposed to be on telly. Like stand up is supposed to be it's an art form that came out of storytelling in pubs and clubbing in New York in small underground venues.
Sure.
Stand up is an intimate form of storytelling and telling jokes, and it's about the audience seeing you and them knowing they can see you.
But do you
and
want
there being
that
a connection? Counts? Yeah, you do. I think it's been amazing.
Well, who was it last
Whereas
year?
Otherwise, you're doing a play of your stand up.
Sure.
You know. So my favorite gigs are always the grubbier ones.
Okay.
Rather than the, so I hope that's where my career stays because that's where I wanted to be.
Well, Aisling Bea is part of the Vodafone Comedy Festival. By the way, meet your sister very quickly. We don't have too much time to get into it, but the whole lazy can't be arsed thing.
Oh, can't
you
be arsed.
Two,
yeah.
I just can't be arsed.
I really can't be arsed.
This is D.
This is my reason. Yeah. It's halfway through the sentence.
Are you only pregnant because you just can't be arsed to like stand up on trains and stuff like that? You're like, ah, it's just easier this
Actually,
way. Let me
can't
sit down.
Be arsed using contraception.
Yeah. I
Really? You crossed a line there. At least we dressed it up with metaphors about horses.
But this is my wife. Did I mention that?
Oh no, are you guys married?
Yes.
Oh, sorry guys.
Can't be arsed leaving the studio to find a husband.
God, you're so lazy.
Oh,
you're so lazy.
The guy I work with because I couldn't be arsed finding
someone.
Somebody else.
I'll go out with you. Okay, fine.
Here you. You're
yeah.
free.
Can't be arsed. It's really nice to meet you. We like
Thank
your style.
You very much.
Good luck then with the Vodafone Comedy Festival and everything else that you do.
And good luck, guys, with your future.
Thanks very much.
Now that you're locked into it.
Do we have one?
Yeah.